Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, a live edition as we are on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of them live here today talking NHL trade deadline. I am Brad Brewer, joined with Kyle Lewis. Every week we talk Flames hockey on Flames Unfiltered. And Kyle, you know, we don't have a hell of a lot to talk about because the Flames didn't do anything today.
Literally nothing. There's lots of things that happened, of course, and details are still rolling in, but I'm surprised. I expected something, however small. What about you? Are you expecting anything at all today?
Yeah, I went into the day thinking, okay, we're doing a live show. I'm going to do a live blog. I'm doing all these graphics. I'm doing all this stuff. It's going to be a dead day. And I knew that, but I thought there'd be a fringe move. Like I did. I just thought there'd be a fringe move, whether it be of Vladar or whether it be, I don't know, but it just never came. It just never came at all today. And I kept watching all these other teams make all these moves. And, you know, part of me was maybe a little upset, but then I tried to think about like the true reality of this and where we're at. And I kind of understand what Connor is doing. He's sticking to the plan, right? That's what we've been asking him to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think the plan in many people's minds would have included shedding some assets, especially considering some of the crazy prices that other teams were able to get.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. That's what I wanted your opinion on today, most of all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people just like, meh, on X, and I guess I'm one of them. I mean, I'm disappointed they didn't acquire. If they were going to do this, like not shed anything, I would have preferred maybe to add a defenseman and maybe a fourth line center. But it beats the hell out of, you know, overpaying for rentals or, you know, giving up picks. Does it beat, you know, shedding assets considering what could have been had potentially? That I'm not so sure of. But you know, I don't mind having a competitive team either, which, you know, that murderous road trip we just had, we went 2-2-2. So,
we did.
Hopefully the Flames play similarly to the last couple of games from end of the season.
You know, it's been really successful lately, and I understand why they don't want, you know, to give up assets that we have right now. I just sit and I look at Kadri and I'm like, 2 years ago when he was struggling, we would have, I mean, seriously, we would have done anything to move him, like literally anything. And last year he had a good year. This year he's having a really good year. And
yep,
we, you know, and now it's like, oh, now's a chance we could get something good or maybe something. I don't know if I could, goods might be, I might be a little wishful thinking there, but like respectable would probably be the best word. And then we don't take opportunity on that. And like, I just kept thinking to myself today, 12 months from now, are we sitting on deadline day going, oh, Kadri's another year older. He's struggling, having an off year. We could have got something last year, and now we have a rock of a contract. That's my fear. That's my only fear.
Yeah. I mean, it's legitimate fear. I mean, he's been obviously one of our better players for the most part this season. But in terms of what happens, you know, a year from now or over the summer, I mean, you can't really fix it on that stuff. I mean, you just kind of take it a season at a time. And right now we're obviously still in the race, despite some rather flat efforts on that road trip too, especially after the Washington win. But at this point, I at least appreciate the only thing that Conroy said that really kind of like, ugh, God, I knew he was going to say it was, we believe in this group. Well, if you could believe in this group, they'd be 4, 6, 7 points into a playoff spot, not one, right? And that's just my take on it. Like, just one of those things that I guess you feel compelled to say. Obviously, there is some faith in that room, and I have some as well. But that, to me, is a lot better than the Jay Feaster, we're going for it. Because had they done that, had they said that, I would have thrown up all over my TV today.
Oh, me too. You know, and I do have faith to an extent. I have faith in certain aspects of the team, right? And sadly, I mean, it's tough, though, to sit and like, and I agree with you. When he said that today, I clicked at the TV like, oh, boy. Because I'm thinking, he's sitting here talking about the lowest scoring team in the league, which is still unbelievable that we're in a playoff spot. And he's sitting there saying he has faith. And I'm just like, how do you say that? How do you say that when we are the lowest scoring team in the league? And it's tough. Like, he wasn't solving that problem today. And after seeing what Dylan Cousins went for, and you know, he's not solving that problem today.
Right.
But
yeah, I agree.
I guess, you know, like me and you have talked in detail about Anderson and our feelings there and what's going to happen in the future. And I probably agree with what most of the analysts and Flames fans are saying is like, well, I don't know that, you know, our assets are diminished doing it in the offseason this year if we can't get to that number we want with Anderson. So I can kind of let that one slip by. Mm-hmm. You know, Coleman, like what could we get for Coleman? What does Coleman bring to the team right now? As much as I've always been a Blake Coleman fan, he's not bringing a lot to the table right at the moment. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be a key guy if this team does find a way to hold its spot and make it to the playoffs. But it's kind of like a day of like what could have been as far as getting assets, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm not upset. I'm not happy. I'm exactly like me and you talked about before we went on air. I'm okay.
It seems to be a prevailing opinion. I mean, I do think, and we saw some evidence of it, especially last night with that Farabee goal. But Conroy did kind of address some of the offensive concerns with that trade, I think, because Frost has made the power play way better. Farabee is at times showing what he's capable of. But the thing about it is, and I guess this is what I keep coming back to, it's like it also comes down to how you use what you have. Now, Calgary, you know, obviously got shut out twice recently, or twice in a row, I should say. But the Dallas game, we absolutely should have won that game. The reason we lost that game, at least in my opinion, was the player usage in overtime. He just ran Huberdeau and Kadri into the ground. He didn't try Frost. He didn't try Farabee. He kept giving ice time to Sharon Govich, which made no sense because he had a terrible, terrible game.
I'm glad you brought this up. Did you notice on the play that they scored? Like Sharon Govich is on the wrong side defensively of the player. And I thought the same thing. I thought Sharon Govich was awful yesterday. You know, he had the game winner in the Philly game and everything just seemed to go the Flames away in the Philly game. But I watched yesterday and it's like, all right, Farabee gets that goal. Backlund, you know, gets a key goal. I felt like that Calgary was playing like the probably could have scripted out a road game for the Flames. Like against a good Dallas team, that was we were right on track, right? And I mean, to get a point, I'm happy with that, but it did kind of bother me to see some of the things on X where it's like, oh, we just salvaged, you know, we should just be happy we're out of here with a point. No, wait a minute, we hit a lead in the third period.
Yeah,
so I was a little frustrated with that, but the play of Sharon Govich and who Huska had out, like you just touched on in overtime, was frustrating. We had no Connor Zary in overtime. We had no Farabee. He had his best game as a Flame. I mean, I just don't understand that. I don't.
No, and I mean, even then, like you can't, especially where it's just so fast pace and you're kind of relying on different mixes to try and win a game in overtime, you can't keep rolling out the same players like that. I thought it was just, I mean, I've generally liked what Huska's done generally throughout the season. Mm-hmm. That was the coaching cost in the game. I understand. I know Kadri hit the post. Like, yes, I watched the game. I get it. Like, they were still close. They still got a point. But that's not how you coach in overtime. I don't know if he thought he was playing a hunt. The Sharon Govich thing, I can only suspect he's trying to get the player out of his prolonged funk here. But when a guy like Farabee has the kind of game that he was having, it's, you know, he's the first guy you should be tapping to go over the boards in overtime, in my mind.
I agree. You got to play the hot guy. And like, we haven't questioned Huska all that much. And most of the Flames fan base really never questions him that much. I've seen a little bit more lately, but you know, I still look at the line combos and I'm like, I don't like him. I don't like him. And I don't know, maybe that changes on Saturday night when Montreal comes to town. But all in all, I guess we did, since we last talked earlier this week, we get 3 out of 4 points. And for the most part, I thought played pretty damn good hockey.
Yep. Yep, for the most part.
I guess now we have Montreal coming to town, and is that another road game for the Flames? I mean, is the place going to be full of Montreal fans? And with just one day off and a flight today, it's not going to seem like much of a break before the Flames get right back at it. But then we do get a break after that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So be interesting to see what happens, because obviously the Western Conference really, really loaded up today. So in terms of where the Flames match up, if they can sneak into the playoffs, I mean, it's going to come down to Dustin Wolf having to steal a game, if anything. But the next couple of weeks is going to be, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be basically the Canucks, the Flames, and the Blues more or less battling it out, depending on how the Kings do as well. Interesting to be acquired after Kuzmenko.
Yeah. What did you think of that? When you saw Kuzmenko's name come across the board this morning, going to LA from Philly, did you not chuckle? Like, I was just like, oh boy.
Well, I mean, I don't think any of us ever thought he was going to finish the year in Philly. But
no, that's a good point too.
The guy, everybody seems to be, you know, people won't take chance on him because this, you know, the skill level's there, but good for him. I mean, hopefully it pans out. He has an opportunity, but I still think he's going back to Russia this summer.
I do too. Speaking of LA though, and getting Kuzmenko, I'm a little surprised LA didn't make more of a push today.
They haven't won a playoff series since Rob Blake's been GM.
I know.
And there's a lot of great Kings follows out there too. A lot of great accounts on X and a really cool fan base to interact with. There's definitely some frustration there. This team has been, you know, getting dummied by the Oilers each time they seem to get into the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know what could have been out there for them that would have been, you know, maybe put them a step ahead. That's the thing. It's such a balancing act, right? I mean, look at what the other teams did. I mean, I was actually very impressed, and I haven't seen the return yet for Brad Marchand, but I was very impressed by the Bruins today, for example.
They
decided. I mean, they did great, I thought, in the Coyle trade with Colorado. Brian Mittelstadt.
I think that's a good move for them. Good move for Boston. Boston actually, and it surprised me too. They took the approach of, hey, we're gonna have to move. We're gonna have to move our assets now and get something, and start this retool.
Well, that led to some interesting chatter on X about the fact that, you know, Lindholm and Zadorov went from one rebuild to another, and that's pretty well what's happened here. But I think it's a very ballsy, difficult thing for a GM to do, and God knows the Flames have never been particularly good at it. Obviously, is for a GM to say, you know what, just we're cashing out. You know, obviously we're not where we wanted to be. These prior acquisitions haven't panned out as well as we'd hoped. You know, Swayman's had an off year for the most part. Like, let's forget it. You know, we're going to take what we can get and go from there.
Did you see the play last night?
Oh, yeah.
20 seconds to go. Lindholm gives a back pass to Zadorov. Zadorov goes to try, fired across the slot, which is a dumb, stupid, dangerous play in the first place. And then stick breaks and game over.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. Now, how did you feel about the Leafs trade deadline day, Brad Treliving?
I felt like the whole time the Leafs were like trying to do something, but just I nothing that moves the needle for me, let's put it that way.
I like the Lawton acquisition. I like the, I mean, Brandon and Mike Gold pointed this out, and rightfully so. Brandon Carlo, that was a big, big pay to get him. That to me is another Ben Chiarot where it's like the guy has a reputation he doesn't necessarily deserve. So I'm curious to see how that's all going to pan out. I mean, nothing matters in Toronto until they win at least a playoff round. Otherwise, it's going to be a complete bust, right? And rightfully so, considering how close they are to the cap and all the talent they have.
I did laugh, though, today when everybody in Calgary was happy when we didn't get Carlo and Kunin. Everybody was happy. I didn't see
the Kunin one, especially.
I didn't see anybody on X say, oh, we lost out there. I did see a lot of Dylan Cousins, and I wanted to talk to you about that. A giant move and a move I don't know. Did anybody see that one coming today? Where Dylan Cousins heads to Ottawa for, along with Dennis Gilbert, and a second rounder for Josh Norris and Jacob Bernard Docker. I don't know. I have no idea what Buffalo is doing. I don't have any idea.
They don't have any idea. They haven't had any idea for the longest time.
Why in God's green earth did they have to throw in a second round pick in this?
I have no idea. I think, you know what, generally I like to think I can think, you know, look at it from you know, a few different perspectives and, you know, kind of play devil's advocate. With the Buffalo Sabres, I can't. I'm not going to attempt to. It'd be a feeble attempt on my part. So I don't hate the trade for them. I mean, I like Josh Norris as a player. Mm-hmm. Cousins, I also like as a player, though I have questions. But I don't know if you saw on X or watching hockey last night, but Ray Ferraro absolutely shredded the Sabres for their total lack of support for one another on the ice, and they were just getting pushed around. Like, and he's right. If anybody's ever played hockey at any level, even if it's pickup, house league, whatever, it's pathetic to watch how seemingly incohesive that group is and how little they care about one another. So, you've brought this up far more than I have. That team's a joke, and I hope, because Buffalo has fantastic hockey fans and some really talented players. My God, I hope they get it together one of these days.
Might be one of the favorite places I've watched a game, just the atmosphere, the friendliness of the fans. Mm-hmm. I just had such a good experience the one time I was in Buffalo. And honestly, it's always a team I've kind of had a soft spot. You know, I think everybody that's a Flames fan or a fan of any team has another team they kind of have a soft spot for. Usually it's a team in the opposite conference for sure. But I have always kind of had a soft spot for Buffalo and thought, geez, you know, I'd really like to see them get it together, because you said their fan base deserves way better than what they're getting right now. And I sit and I look at this and I look at the trade and I'm like, I have some of the same reservations about Cousins that you do, although I still think he's got a huge upside. Josh Norris, I love him as a player, but he's very injury prone. Bernard Docker is a great, great defenseman, and I think he's going to be one thing that Buffalo is going to be happy in this deal. But I sit and I look at this deal, and I'm like, couldn't it have been Cousins and Gilbert for Norris and Docker and just been good? Like, I just look at the second round pick, and I'm like, what? Like, why did that have to be thrown in? And we see that in Buffalo with Adams all the time. These moves are just, everybody shakes their head when they see a Buffalo transaction. They just, or a signing. They signed, oh my gosh, Jordan Greenway for $4 million.
Yeah, I saw that.
Holy cow. I don't know.
That's a mystery. It's a mystery. Now, in terms of the other things that went on today, obviously the biggest thing, and this is, if anybody doesn't follow the hockey images that preceded Unfortunate Events X account, get on it because it's hilarious. So, of course, today they posted
say that again. I need to follow this. I don't follow this.
Hockey images that preceded Unfortunate Events, or that precede Unfortunate Events. Okay. So the example from today, and probably the best one of the season so far, was they posted the Carolina Hurricanes welcoming Mikko Rantanen to Carolina. So I don't even know what to make of this, because I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, good for the Dallas Stars, and honestly, good for the Hurricanes for getting the return they got. I think Stankoven and 2 firsts is a great haul. Rantanen, I don't know that he's going to be as effective elsewhere as he was in Colorado, but that remains to be seen. But what were your thoughts on the Hurricanes, you know, acquiring this guy, believing they were going to re-sign him long term, and having to trade him, flip him essentially, because that wasn't going to happen?
Let me put it to you this way. If Calgary did this, we would talk about it for 10 years.
Probably.
You cannot go get a guy like them going and getting Rantanen. They gave him Natchez, and I love Natchez. Like, I wanted him here so bad. But, you know, they decided to make that deal to get Rantanen to help him for a playoff run. I'm all for that. But if you aren't smart enough as a GM in an organization to do your due diligence to make sure you at least have an 80% chance that he's going to sign with you, then you're just an idiot. And so now they get him in. He struggles a little bit. They decide that, oh, he's not re-signing here. There's no chance of it. We're going to have to try to flip him to try to salvage anything we can. And by them getting Stankoven, who I love, I'd love to see him in Calgary. And then 2 first-round picks, which I'm absolutely shocked that they didn't flip at least one of those today for something for now. Because the way I look at it, isn't Carolina in a win now mode?
Absolutely.
They have been for 2 years, and I believe they still will be for 2 more years. Like, they're in a win now. Yeah. They're like where we want to be in 3 years. Like, what are you doing going and getting first-round picks and then not flipping them for an asset that can help you in the playoffs this year? Everybody else out there, we look at all these other teams that made all these acquisitions to bolster their team, mostly in the West, and we'll get to that when we talk about Dallas and Colorado, but, like, they bring in these guys to push them over the edge this year. Does it work? Not all the time. Sometimes it does. But they got 2 first-round picks, which is what we would want. Not what they should want.
Right. But I mean, ultimately for them, I think obviously Stan Coven was the key piece coming back, but they had to make a decision and try to get the best return they could for a player that wasn't going to stay there. And we all know the risk, obviously, and it happened with, you know, Goudreau and Calgary and so many others when they walk away for nothing. And it's like, look what it did to the Flames. Now, far as yeah. them back, right? Oh, we're fortunate to be as competitive as we are now, given the impact of that.
You're right. That you're right. You're totally right. I just and you know, they got a that's a pretty good return, knowing that they had to flush him out. That's a pretty good return.
I just think it's funny though too, and I wanted to point this out. We've talked about it on the show before. The reputation, I mentioned this a little bit earlier with Ben Chiarot, for example, and Brandon Carlo. Eric Johnson's another one. So we're talking about the Avalanche. Eric Johnson goes back to Colorado.
I feel like he's went back there like six times.
Well, that's what it feels like, yeah. But these players, they have these reputations that just get absolutely magnified and blown up at trade deadline time to say, like, you know, they're great character guys and you know, they're leaders and they're veterans and they're warriors. And a lot of them are not particularly effective and maybe never really were in some instances.
Yeah.
But there's also something to be said for, you know, those guys meshing with a given group. And the one that really kind of threw me today, did you see Brady Tkachuk's reaction to Josh Norris being traded?
I did. But that's his bud, though. Like, is that not hard? I don't know.
Well, it's hard. And my question is, I mean, it's a business. And I think I understand players get emotional about it. But it's like, hey, like, he's only in Buffalo. Like, you know, you guys are still going to be buds. You can still see each other. Like, you know, the guy didn't die.
You're not married to him.
No, but moreover, it's like, does taking Norris out of that locker room, does it disrupt them? And the Senators made some great moves. Getting Zetterlin from San Jose was a fantastic move as well, I thought. Yeah. But so you take Norris out of the room. Tkachuk probably already doesn't. I don't want to put this out there, but it's already been said. I don't know that he loves playing in Ottawa right now, given some of the animosity between our two countries in terms of politics. So I just wonder what Josh Norris being into the equation really does to that room. And if Cousins comes in as the soft player we saw in Buffalo that Ray Ferraro was discussing last night.
He won't have any time for that. He will not have any time for softness.
The hope is that Cousins is going to go in motivated to, you know, to really show his stuff and apply himself with the Senators.
But then, you know, you look at Dylan Cousins and if I was him, man, I would throw my shit in the back of my car so quickly and I'd be out of town so fast that it wouldn't even, right. You know, just like he's going to a team now that has some good young players that I know me and you have spoke really highly of Ottawa for years now about how mm-hmm. they're building this and how they're doing this. And there's been a few hiccups in the road, which I don't know that there's any team that doesn't have that. But like, I really like the direction they're going. And honestly, I was surprised last year that they didn't see bigger success out of it. And this year they're there. I mean, it's going to be a grind, but it is going to be interesting to see if they can hold that together, how Cousins reacts, how he fits in. And if this pushes this team into the playoffs, because that's a hell of a race in the Eastern Conference.
Well, it is very much so. The thing is, like the Senators, it for them, they're behind where they should be in this rebuild. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have some very important pieces, in particular Claude Giroux, who's getting long on the tooth. And it's like the offense is already starting to drop a bit with him. The rest of his game, obviously, as a player ages, you know, the same thing will happen. They'll start to deteriorate. So they should be win now. They have not really been win now. They've had some goaltending issues. They've had some major consistency issues. So they're a team that really needs these moves to pan out. They have to make the playoffs this year. Because if they don't, I could see big changes this summer. I really could.
I could see some big changes also. And the patience is there. Is gone, right? Colorado Avalanche. Oh, boy, did they bolster themselves today. Last night, they bring in Brock Nelson. And then today, we see the Johnson move, and where's my other chart here that shows? So yeah, yesterday they bring in Brock Nelson, which makes their center core ridiculous down the middle, and then today they bring in Charlie Coyle, but they do lose Casey Middlestead in the Coyle deal. Did that transaction surprise you? And did it also surprise you that Nelson landed in Colorado?
A little bit. I wasn't really expecting the Islanders to be sellers necessarily, but I think Nelson's a pretty underrated player.
I think he is. And
he trains with McKinnon in the summer, so there's a relationship there. Colorado looked to have maybe lost a step this year. And then, of course, after the Rantanen trade, people were kind of really wondering, do they have the horses to make another run? I think they did already. I mean, you can't have talent like Makar and McKinnon and not be, you know, a contender. But I think they gave up significant amount to get Charlie Coyle out of Boston.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But that's what a team that wants to win right now is. That's what you have to do. So
yeah, I like what they did. I watched them, albeit against San Jose last night, and they just look like utter domination. And you know, I just look at that down the middle, and I know what Nelson's going to bring them, and Coyle also. But that's a strong built team now, and it'll be interesting to see how that pans out, and how they'll go up against the other team that we can talk about now. That really, really bolstered themselves, and that's the Dallas Stars.
It feels like early, like late 90s, early 2000s, and Dallas and Colorado at the top of the West.
Yeah.
The one thing that's great about hockey, though, is that there's always upsets in the playoffs, and there's always teams that aren't as good as you think they're going to be. So both teams are poised for a deep playoff run. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them get bounced in the first round because of a hot goalie, because of whatever, but it's really interesting to see how they stack up against each other. I mean, I felt that the Oilers, just may as well talk about them too, again, with a player like McDavid and a player like Draisaitl. I mean, you're going to be in that mix too, but I really think they needed to get a goaltender, and I really think that they had some depth issues they needed to address. They didn't really do those things, so I think they're like a step behind Dallas and Colorado, but remains to be seen. You know, we've got about, 18, 19 games left in the season?
Yeah, about that. So, were you surprised that Edmonton was so quiet? I mean, we know they're in cap hell and they have the Evander Kane thing hanging over their heads, but which to me, it sounds like based off what I was learning today, that he will be completely out for the regular season.
But I think he's done for the year, isn't he?
The report I said just said regular season, which would be an Edmonton thing to have him back for the playoffs. Not that I don't know that I get feelings that they don't want him back. Which,
well, he's as divisive a personality as you're ever going to find in hockey, I believe.
That's exactly what I was just going to say, and you said it first.
Yeah, and it's a known thing. It's not like, oh, it's, you know, like I mentioned Daniel Sprong, you know, moving again today. Well, it's a relatively known thing in hockey circles that Sprong is a tough fit in a lot of dressing rooms, and I'm just, you know, saying that based on what I know from people who work in the game. Now, as far as Kane goes, him being out, or not, we know he's not coming back, at least for the regular season, is obviously it's a big loss for the Oilers because he does play the game a la Brad Marchand, a la Sam Bennett, a la Matthew Tkachuk. But the other pieces that the Oilers acquired and around that, like Jake Walman, another offensive defenseman, Trent Frederick, who's also hurt right now, I don't really know what kind of team they're trying to build here. They didn't acquire players to me that are going to push you further in the playoffs.
I would agree.
It just seems to me that the idea is, oh, we got so close last year, we're going to run it back. It's like, yes, you went to game 7, so it's very much a coin toss in a sense that you could have won and you still have a team that could win. But ultimately, there's some holes in that team that got exposed, and the guys they brought in are significant downgrades from Broberg and Holloway, who they lost, you know, to Offersheets last season, or last summer, I should say. So I don't see them as significant a threat as Dallas or Colorado. I think there's still somebody to keep an eye on, but they didn't get better in my mind. I don't think they got better at all, quite frankly. Dallas and Colorado most certainly did.
I would totally agree. And the team that I really was surprised today was Vegas. I saw on X about 10, 20 minutes before deadline hit, I saw hi on Las Vegas, or good morning, and then a few minutes later it said hi on the Vegas Golden Knights X account, and I thought, oh no, that means they've got something in the back burner here, and they're going to fire down a big trade, and then nothing came from it. So that really, really surprised me. But I'll tell you what, I think we could all agree that the Western Conference has been, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't agree, but weaker this year. Would you agree?
Yeah, mostly because there's so much parity in the East, and there's some surprises in the East that are really surprising, like the Blue Jackets, for example. Mm-hmm. And then you have some teams that kind of made some noise in the second half, like the Canadiens, who, you know, were really bad to start the season. So I would say the East is more competitive for sure.
I think so too. And I just look at what it's going to take to get into the playoffs in the East versus the West. And it's like, I mean, it just, it's going to be different. Right. And I look at what teams in the West did with the Dallas and the Colorado and the, you know, they literally bolstered their lineups. And I sit and I look at Vegas and LA and I'm like, oh, in Edmonton too, for most part. And like, I think you guys are getting left in the dust, but deadline day deals don't always work out. Being a Flames guy, we can list off 100 of them that didn't work out. But I don't know. It was kind of a quiet, ho-hum day. I getting back to the Flames before, I'm still waiting to see what Marchand's return is here. But getting back to the Flames, I saw Conroy had mentioned that not using up retention spots was disappointing for him. Were you surprised that that didn't happen?
A bit, yeah. I mean, I always have the expectation, and I alluded to this earlier, I always have the expectation that something's going to happen. And a lot of times it's something you don't quite expect. It's just, you know, trade goes into the queue. It's announced after the deadline that they traded a fourth round pick and an NHL defenseman to some team for a depth defense. You know what I mean? Like, there's always something.
I know.
To do absolutely nothing, which I believe the Montreal Canadiens also did absolutely nothing.
Did you know, I'll interrupt and I want to hear the rest of this. Do you know that the Islanders have not done anything on deadline day for 4 years straight?
I did not know that. That's actually remarkable. And good for them for showing such self-restraint at a time when, much like free agency, teams just go absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle a bit because we know how good the Flames can be on some nights. We know how good the goaltending is. We also know, you know, crazy inconsistent they are. I do think that Conroy did a lot with that Fairby Frost trade. It really changed the team quite significantly. I don't think that Ryan Huska has figured out entirely how to best leverage those new assets or newer assets at this point. And I have concerns over the defense. I mean, I've said all year that I thought, you know, Hanley is playing a bit over his head, and I also think he would have caught a really handsome return. Solovyov was not quite, you know, where I'd like him to be. I was hoping he'd be a regular. So there's pieces we could have acquired to augment this team a bit. But again, as we said at the outset of the show, and as we saw all over X, it's like, hey, Flames fans are generally fine. We're not happy. We're not upset. And kudos to Conroy for staying the course. I mean, had he sold off on those assets and we missed the playoffs, maybe next year we're not as good as, or not as much better as we hope we'd be, for example. You can't predict the future. And that's kind of the beauty of the sport is there's so much parity. That's why I like, you know, the Bruins taking the chances they took today, as I said earlier. But as far as the Flames go, it's like, okay, so maybe it does give the locker room a bit of a boost to play as hard as they played against the Stars in Dallas. I don't know, but it's all up to them now. They have every opportunity in front of them to make the playoffs. We're not relying on other teams right now to put us in. Like, there's some tough games coming up. I think the Montreal game is a bit of a trap game because, you know, they're also very much in the playoff mix in the East. So and now's the time to get that winning streak we haven't had since October, right? Rattle off, you know, go 5-0-1, put four straight together, do something to separate yourself a little bit. But I love acquiring players. I love seeing trades. So ultimately, yes, I guess I err more towards the side of I wish they'd done something, but I also can't be upset. We're in a playoff race in a season where we had nobody predicting that we'd be in the playoff race. So
we said from the beginning that, I mean, our goal was to make the playoffs, and we think the experience that these players gain from playing in the playoffs is so meaningful. And I still stand by that and agree with you. Think about it this way. Was it last year or the year before we sat and had to get excited about getting Nick Ritchie? I mean,
bad. Yeah, somebody reminded me last night. Somebody reminded me in Xbox how Daryl Sutter used Nick Ritchie in a shootout. And it actually kind of made me mad in a funny sense. I'm like, damn it, why would you remind me of that? Because I completely forgot
that. It's kind of like having Sharon Govich out there last night, right?
You know what? I would actually argue Sharon Govich in overtime, despite the fact he scored 30 goals. Based on how he played, I thought it was worse. I really did.
Really?
Sure. I mean, I can score in a shootout with a little bit of luck. You know, like.
Well, we may get to watch that, huh?
There's a decent chance. I'll put it that way.
Dan Vladar was a guy that we all had talked about in and thought that maybe he would be a guy that'd be moved. Me and you kind of went back and forth on that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Connor Murphy gets signed by the Flames, $775,000 two-way deal for the remainder of this season. We saw that, and I did see a lot of people on X say, oh, that means that Vladar is getting moved. I didn't necessarily think that. Your thoughts on Vladar staying with the team?
I think had Devin Cooley come back from injury as good as he was prior to it, Vladar would have been traded 1,000%. 1,000%, I believe that.
I agree. But you know what? Is it maybe a blessing? And boy, would I never wish someone coming back from an injury slow. I never wish that upon anybody. Is that though? Maybe a blessing for this team and the fact that we're going to get to see how Cooley comes back from that and to see if he can regain the solid play that he was showing us prior to that injury. And does that solidify a little bit more of our feelings for the future moving up and into an NHL spot next year? You know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I think in goaltending this year, we have to just be so, so thankful we've learned what we've got in Wolf. And I think we can all agree that he's a starter in the National Hockey League now. And that's huge to know that. And I don't sweat the backup goalie that much. But you know what? I feel comfortable with both Vladar or Cooley, no matter who we decide to go with next year.
I'm not so sure about Cooley now. I was also very unsure about Vladar until more recently. He's played much, much better. It also wasn't reasonable to expect that, you know, Wolf was going to play 17 of the remaining games, for example. And Devin Cooley, I mean, the Wranglers have been free-falling, and obviously we're all hopeful he can he has a one-way contract next year. I still don't think Vladar is going to be the team next year, but because it made sense in some respects for this team to stay in the playoff race, of course, it makes sense that they kept Vladar, knowing that they didn't have a reliable option to back up Wolf. And God forbid, I mean, one injury to Wolf and you trade Vladar, and then Coolidge your starter, right?
Then we worry, right?
Then people are screaming that, you know, you should have traded Coleman, Kadri, Anderson, et cetera, et cetera. Some people are going to say that anyway, and I get it.
I know. Completely get it,
right?
Yeah.
But no, things are right now, it was the right move, I think, to keep Vladar if they believe their own message that, you know, we believe in this group and, you know, we're going to ride this out. Because otherwise, it could have been disastrous. And that's not to say that they shouldn't have sold off these assets, like we said earlier. That was a lot of people hope for that, and understandably so.
We were damned if we do, damned if we don't. I was mostly pointing to the Kadri one. I mean, that is, like, if you just said, Brad, what's your, like, if you had, we'd have talked this morning at 8 a.m. and said, all right, what's your goal for today? It'd have been like, hey, let's move Kadri. Let's get as much as we can there. Preferably a center that we can place hold, like a Casey Mittelstad. I kind of always had a gut feeling he'd go back to Colorado. I had rumors and rumblings today that was talked about, but Kadri didn't want to go back. Now that's just backdoor talk. I don't know. I don't have any validity behind that. That would have been one thing that I guess I could have seen. Do I think we get the same thing with Anderson in the offseason? I don't know. Probably. I'm interested to see where that goes. The Coleman thing, I think he's a key part of the future, but I also think we could have got something today, and he's not getting any younger either. So I go back and forth, and you know what? I got to stick to my guns that we said we wanted to make the playoffs, and if we would have done what I just said, we wouldn't have made the playoffs. So I probably just need to be quiet and be happy, right?
I'm going to throw this out there. Not that I think it's realistic, but it's a super fun thought to bounce around in your head, okay? Can you imagine, and I know I can, although I can't see it happening, if the Calgary Flames make the playoffs and pull a Columbus Blue Jackets over the Tampa Bay Lightning of whatever it was 6 seasons ago against, you know.
They who did they beat? They beat Boston, didn't they, in 4 straight?
Well, Columbus beat Tampa in 4 straight.
Or Tampa in 4 straight, yeah. Well, and then but you got to look too. Boston was the best team in the league last year and got knocked in the first round. It can happen.
Yep.
We're in a place, like you just said, we're in a place to play Winnipeg in the first round.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because of all the teams and all the bold moves, the team that I think I actually liked the most today was Winnipeg.
Really?
I thought they did exactly what they needed to do. I think getting Luke Shen is a brilliant move for them, because Winnipeg is such a solid team already.
Mm-hmm.
The goaltender swap, Kakinen for Chris Drieger out of Florida, was kind of like, whatever. but it's a bit out of depth then. But I really, really like them acquiring Luke Shen. What was the other move that they made? Oh, bringing back Brandon Tanev. Yeah. And then posting the creepy photo of Tanev from a few years ago.
Photo ever going to go away?
But I mean, you've acquired two players who are built for the playoffs for a team that's underachieving the playoffs, a team that got absolutely dummied by Colorado. All of a sudden, in my mind, becomes much more difficult to play against. Now, the biggest piece is still going to be Hellebuck has to show up for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But Winnipeg didn't go out and, you know, they weren't going to acquire Rantanen. They weren't going to overpay to get a guy like Brandon Carlo. I think they paid significantly for the pieces they got.
Yeah, they paid a lot for Tanev.
Yeah, but those pieces fit what they're doing. And hopefully this is year they go on a deep run, because God knows they've got the offense to do it. They should have the goaltending to do it, but now they've added those intangible pieces, you know, the tight checkers, the tough players, the shot blockers, the guys who could really difference, you know, between, you know, trying to hold a one goal lead with 5 minutes left in a playoff game. Like, those guys make a difference. So
And I think Hellebuck's experience at the Four Nations will help him in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. I do.
I also think the experience of last year of just, you know, getting run roughshod by Colorado, I think is going to be huge too. So Winnipeg to me is still a team on the rise, but at the same time, their window of contention based on the age of the current core is not as long as they'd like. And that's why they made the moves they made. So kudos to them. There's good.
Not many people. I think if you'd have polled us all at the beginning of the year, not many of us had Winnipeg high up there. I had them making the playoffs. I didn't have them as high up as they're doing this year, but a little bit of a surprise in Winnipeg, but I agree. I like what they did today too. And it's another team that's going to be really fun to watch, but it is also a team that if Calgary played them in the first round, I wouldn't necessarily say that we were going to get slaughtered or anything.
Yeah, I could agree with that. So whatever the case, it's interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. Now, as far as the Panthers go, because we should mention them too, because obviously they had a huge day. I can't imagine a more annoying line in hockey than Tkachuk, Marchand, and Bennett.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? I'm just looking now to refresh to see if there's a return on that yet. There is no return, but yeah, Brad Marchand as a Florida Panther.
Yeah, but I don't, you know what? I don't see Florida repeating, and I can't give you a concrete reason why, other than it's a very difficult thing to do. I think Tampa, by, you know, reacquiring Yanni Gord the other day and Bjorkstrand, like they're a bit of a dark horse now. They're still
a
good team.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know. I don't see Florida going all the way again. And also the fact that, you know, they did it last year, and it's so hard to repeat. It's a long grind, and they're not going to sneak up on anybody. I mean, I don't know. Right now, if I had to give you a cup winner, I'm not sure that I could. But Florida obviously is up there. Tampa has been, you know, I think they're always playoff threat. Toronto did some things that, you know, I think are good, even if they paid, in my mind, too much for certain things. The market's the market. They acquired some pieces that they need. I think their goaltending is still a huge question mark in the playoffs, but in both conferences, I it's so hard to predict who could come out of them.
I sit and I look, and I'm like, I look at Toronto and I look at Edmonton, and I said, if they both could have solved the goaltending issue, I think they both would be favorites. I love Florida right now. Like, I agree, though. There's not many teams that can go through that grind year in and year out and come out. And especially the way the Panthers play, right? It's going to be tough. I love what Tampa has done. I love watching them and how they're, like, secretly so good. And then when actually a lot of people had already written them off, I think Dallas made strides today, and I think Colorado made big strides today. And I can't wait to see how that all faces up against the LAs of the Vegases and the Edmontons.
I think, you know, when you look at teams that probably should have done more, at least in terms of selling, and not to say it's an easy thing to do, but Nashville, man,
they're going to run this back next year. They think that they're going to be just fine. I think they're crazy.
They're going to be worse next year. I'd put money on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. So on a fun note, as a Flames fan, I acquired something today.
Uh-oh. Sure. I don't know what this is.
I got new gloves.
Ooh.
Now, I already had a pair of gloves like these. The reason I wanted these ones is they are left over from, I can hold this right way, Trevor Lewis. Oh,
Trevor Lewis.
So, pro stock hockey. If you want to buy pro hockey gear for yourself, if you play meaningless pickup like I do, they have all kinds of jerseys, socks, helmets, pants, whatever you want. So, go buy stuff from your favorite team.
I got a stick from them, too. They're good. Yeah, they got a lot of really, really, really cool stuff. All right, Montreal comes to town on Saturday night, and then Wednesday, a big battle as Vancouver comes to Calgary, and huge. On Friday night, Colorado. This is a big homestand. Montreal, Vancouver, Colorado, and then the team heads out east again. Important points on the line. We'll see.
Yes, and actually, since you mentioned that, just a reminder again, I am at the game between Calgary and Toronto and Toronto and St. Paddy's Day. So if any of our listeners are going to be at that game, let us know. I will bring some extra t-shirts with me and I'll buy you a beer.
Oh, I wish I could be there. Toronto's
hopefully fun. It's worth watching. Hopefully it's worth watching.
It will be. You promised it. You promised it a few weeks ago. All right, Flames fans. Thanks for joining us on a live edition of Flames Unfiltered. Make sure you follow us on all the socials. We'll be back in a little over a week. March 17th release on the next episode. Heading out music from Booze and Tuna. You can check them out on Spotify and Apple Music. But your love remains my saving grace. Pull from the darkness, I'm finding my place. Ooh, I still got...
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.